Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we don't have a job to do.
Oh, thank God.
KZ Excellent.
Mwom, mwom, mwom.
And Mr. Feel.
It took two.
Here on Gigaboots.
It seems completely insane to me that before last Friday, we had never played Metal Gear Rising Revengeance on the channel. Well, I guess we did a quick play.
Yeah, we probably did a quick play. Maybe even two. We might have a DLC quick play. I have no idea. Don't go look it up. It's going to be bad.
Oh, it's going to be a terrible video. Those would be 8 years old.
Yeah.
That is the exact cutoff for, no, probably not good at all.
Man, Metal Gear Rising, though. That's a good-ass video game.
Yeah, it is.
I spent years being like, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was, because I thought it was fucking amazing, and then I see a bunch of people come out and maybe don't like it, and other people like it for the memes.
Filtered.
No, that game's really goddamn enjoyable, and I wish more games went in the direction it did of its soundtrack and how densely packed it is with just amazing crap happening all the time.
Yeah, it's short, but there's always something big.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, though I have problems with the gameplay for sure, like the pacing and the story is just so good, and of course the music, it's immaculate.
It's everybody should be embarrassed, including Platinum, that just didn't become like industry standard.
Yeah, because I feel like if we have space for these gigantic games of like 80 70 90 hours, then we should also have space for that. It's for example, I don't think anyone thought the number one problem with The Order is that it's short.
No.
The number one problem is it sucks.
Yeah, we need a nice spectrum of games that are 5 hours and games that are 500.
Yeah, exactly.
Nowadays, we need a lot more of the former than the latter.
If only we had a Metal Gear Rising to complement Stalker 2.
No, it was Dying Light 2, Dan.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Don't worry. Stalker 2 is also in the news this week.
Okay. I'm mixing things up on two games I probably won't enjoy. I'm going to be honest. Probably going to like Dying Light 2 more than Stalker 2, but I would be impressed if I remotely finished either.
Oh, of course.
But, Metal Gear Rising is so damn good.
I keep thinking about one of our comments we got. Where they're like, why would they do the NFT thing? The entire fan base for Stalker 2 is seemingly just communists.
No, that's not really true. In fact, I would be willing to bet it's more the opposite. But
I'm with Phil on this. I think the opposite would be more accurate on average. But
yeah, I just thought it was funny because I was like, it's like you're trying to one up what Phil said of just people who just smoke 80 cigarettes while playing your
game. Like look, the primary audience for the first Stalker game was PC gamers who sit in a dark wearing a hoodie and smoking cigarettes constantly and playing the same game for 1200 hours.
Exactly. No, that makes sense.
There's lots and lots of those guys in Eastern Europe.
But yeah, I'm really glad the channel, Bob, is getting really into nanobreakers and nanobreakers adjacent games.
Nanobreaker likes?
Yes. The genre that came to be known as.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important genre.
This game is very nanobreaker, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's next on that front. Sometime soon, maybe tomorrow, I don't fucking know. I can't predict the future.
Yeah.
We are getting into Infamoth, which is a very different thing.
This very not Nanobreakers core.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is in no way very Nanobreakers.
So what makes something Nanobreakers core? Is it the combination of cyborgs and limb amputations? Or if a game where you constantly bisect people, is that Nanobreaker core, or does the robots have to be involved?
I think they need a lot of blood. I think that's very important. Like if
So is Shinobi Nanobreaker core, the PS2 one?
I would say that's Nanobreaker adjacent, because I feel like there's a certain PS2 action game energy that tethers most of things I would consider Nanobreaker adjacent.
Now, I was trying to think of games where I dismembered things in an action setting, and I think you do that in The Surge. Would The Surge count?
I don't think so, no.
No, it just doesn't have the energy. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Is no more heroes nanobreaker adjacent because you bisect people and they explode into a fountain of blood.
Okay, good. I'm glad we've established that the trend actually started earlier in the year.
And the vehicles maybe not the most tightly fastened together or well constructed jalopy. I think that's an important energy of it. Who knows what comes next? But for now, I think we're diving into Infamoth. Or maybe we're not. I played a hojillion hours, a story of seasons, Pioneers of All of Town over the last week.
Cool.
Do not get that on Switch if you're okay with PC gaming. If you're okay with PC gaming, for the love of God, get that on PC. It's really great on PC, is what I'm here to say. It runs at hundreds of frames a second.
Yeah, it was making your GPU cry.
Yeah, because I uncapped the frame rate, and I'm like, literally crank out all the frames you can, and it's like, okay. My GPU's not used to being taxed, ever.
This cow's big.
He's so huge.
I'm really scared with how bad Pioneers of All of Town runs on the Switch. I'm really scared for Rune Factory 5.
Yeah.
Because that's like a much higher fidelity
it is,
game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
We're already having various viewers be like, don't get this.
Yeah, we had a viewer who played both Rune Factory 4 Special and 5 and is saying
5 isn't out yet.
Japan.
Yeah, they imported.
Oh, it's out in Japan. I didn't know it was out in Japan already.
I'm pretty sure. I'll look this up just to be sure.
It wasn't until like shortly before the American release. Okay.
Yeah.
It was out in Japan, it said. It's out a year ago in Japan.
Yeah, I was going to say, the way they were talking during the stream is they said it came out about last summer. Yeah, May 20th last year.
Wow.
And it runs a little rough, so they kind of prefer 4 Special over it. In no world can I imagine this running worse than Pioneers of All of Town, which I have to reboot every, like, a couple hours, or otherwise the game will keep freezing, like, just completely seizing. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Really enjoyable game. I put, like, 30 to 40 hours into the Switch version and then switched over to PC. Because, oh man, you could get so much done so much faster when your game runs really smoothly. As it turns out, literally tending to your farm takes less time in-game and especially in real life when your game can run well.
Whoa.
Yeah, who would have thought? I'm really loving this game.
Wow.
I could easily see myself throwing at least another 60 hours into it. Whoa. At the drop of a hat. No, like, it would be so easy. The time to do it is the hard part.
Right, of course.
The intent is there. Eventually, I hope we do a stream of the PC version, because we showed a little bit of the Switch version. People were just horrified.
Yes.
They're like, how is it this bad? And I'm like, I don't know. Is my Switch dying? But yeah, I'm excited for Rune Factory 5. As I said, there's no way it runs as bad as this on the Switch. But who knows? Pioneers of All of Town was the first time, though, I started to notice the 6-month Switch to PC exclusivity. And if in a few months we get Pioneers of All of Town on PlayStation, then it will be the exact same pattern. So I have to wonder if Rune Factory 5 will also follow that. Because as of right now, I think it's only announced for the Switch. Yes, that is only announced for the Switch as of right yet. But Rune Factory 4, I believe, came out on multiple different things.
Yeah, I think it hit everything recently, though.
Yeah, it's on PlayStation. Let's see, Nintendo Switch, 2020. Okay, and then Windows, PS4, and Xbox One, 2021.
Oh, wow, it came to Xbox One?
You know, you're right, that is surprising.
Yeah, there's so many things. They're like, oh, yeah, it's finally on other stuff, like PC and PlayStation.
And then there's a yawning chasm of silence.
Yes.
As everyone just goes, I feel like...
Final Fantasy VII Remake coming out on Xbox any day now. So they're going to shadow drop it.
That would be actually really funny if they did.
They shadow drop that, Jesus.
What's really funny to me, and it links to like Switch stuff, is Octopath came out on Switch, then came out on PC, then came out on Xbox Game Pass, then never came to PlayStation.
Yeah, it's still so weird. I wonder if, like, that didn't do well on the Xbox. Clearly, we shouldn't put it on the PlayStation. It's like, I feel like you did this backwards.
I mean, I feel like Square has accepted that Xbox is a dead zone for any of their JRPGs that basically sell nothing on them.
Yeah, I mean, the Capcom statistics came out for how they did on Xbox, and I think any human being with eyeballs can look at Capcom's catalog and say that's a lot more in line with Xbox gamers than, you know, something like Octopath.
Me and 15 other people bought Final Fantasy Type-0 HD on Xbox.
Ooh. Did you all have a good time?
I'm just glad I have that Final Fantasy 15 vertical slice demo that doesn't run any better on a Series X.
Yeah, that's insane. That makes that the only game I've heard of not running well on a Series X.
an ancient, beautiful relic. They're trying to hide this shit from you.
It defies the laws of physics.
See, Final Fantasy Type-0 HD is one of the rare cases where the PC version is the only playable version because you can turn that fucking motion blur off.
Yeah.
Whee!
I think, didn't they eventually patch that into the PlayStation version?
They lessened it. They did not give you the option to turn it off, and the lessened option is still like 8 times too much.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Seems like they want that game to look like that for some reason.
Yeah, I've never seen a motion blur look so wrong.
I wanted to play that game, like, when it first came out. I bought the PS4 version day one and was excited, and I'm like, I can't play this because I spin the camera and it becomes a fucking smear.
Yeah,
it's rough.
It is wacky.
Also, I'm calling that the first version of the Square Enix door, because there is a giant door in that game you have to go through constantly because it's the door to your classroom where all the cutscenes take place. And that fucking texture is like 64 by 64.
I mean, at least with that one, it's a PSP game. Like,
yeah. But this was an HD remaster. All the models look like... like almost Final Fantasy 13 tier.
It is.
And it's like,
it
no,
kind of
go
striking.
Through the cardboard door.
Yeah, yes. They were like, the door's fine. It's a door. No one's going to look at the door and say, this looks bad. Meanwhile, everyone's like, yo,
you
look at this door.
You go to this door every, like, 30 minutes.
But, yeah. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to go ahead and just say that was all I played this week.
Sure, why not?
What did you play?
They put in those new characters for Multiblood. So we got...
Oh, cool.
Aoko Aozaki.
Ow.
Yes.
That hurt to hear you say.
This is the fabled girl in Multiblood who just has really long red hair, wears a white t-shirt and blue jeans.
Yes.
And is like the most silverback gorilla grappler in fighting games.
Because I didn't play her much in the original, because she got added in the later version. I mainly played older Melty Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that she's also just Yusuke Urameshi.
Oh?
She has the spirit gun. She has something that feels like a spirit shotgun. She can release energy orbs he kind of controls and then blows up in midair, kind of like Yamcha's controllable energy ball.
Oh, the spirit ball.
Yes.
Yeah, but she does like the exact pose for the spirit gun. It's hilarious.
That's great.
So that's pretty good. I'm excited to play more of her.
Yeah, we need to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, her intro is like specifically the magic gunner. I'm also looking at this battle preview and I'm laughing because she has well, obviously it came from her, I'm sure, but she has Bardock's medium kick in the air.
Because
I've popped people into the air and hit medium a lot of times in fighters, and it looks exactly the same.
I can attest to this. She has in fact done that.
He's done a lot of things.
God.
These characters got new story as well. So I played Shura story mode, which is pretty good. And she gets to the final boss, who actually isn't. Oh. Like the lame dude that's in that's the main villain for this game specifically. It's one of the other main guys who's like, I guess he's got that Orochimaru thing going on where he's changing bodies.
Oh, okay.
So he's really threatening. And she shows up and he's like, oh my god, there can't be a magician this powerful here in this time. You must have come from the future. And then she gives him the most dumbfounding look ever. It's just like, is this guy for real?
that has the energy of like one of the Blaze Blue endings where the villain is just like one of the ones in Continuum Shift specifically where Hazama is just like, oh, you're for real. I'm gonna go.
But yeah, then she's just like, yeah, I'm from the future. You got me. The gut and the man crumples there.
It's really good.
The other character ad was Noelle
Vermillion.
No.
Oh, dang.
I think they just call her Noelle Dead Apostles.
Yes.
Which Dead Apostles are like the vampire group.
My name's Dan GameStop.
Yeah, right?
Whatever, your damn video game.
Hey, at least I'm not Dan Organization Name.
Well, whatever. It could be worse. You could be Cal Lightsaber.
That's true.
I don't know. That's pretty good. They make her play a lot like Rachel Alucard from Blaze Blue, actually. Because she has a thing where she can throw down like spears into the ground and then has another special move to make those explode. So kind of like the lightning bolts in Blaze Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, they call her Dead Apostle Noelle.
Okay.
Because she's known as the Dead Apostle and her name's Noelle. Her last name isn't Dead Apostle.
All right, sure.
I needed to look this up. And the funny thing is I saw like story outfits for her, right?
Okay.
And, like, she doesn't seem like a character that would control like Rachel Alucard. Then I see how she actually looks in game and I'm like, okay, yeah.
what's up?
I'm not seeing anything but the regular, but the in-game outfit.
I'm just
going
to post the in-game. Yeah, that looks like somebody who just throws bullshit around for you to trip on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Degenerate.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, yeah, it could be that, though, or a character like that could be like, no, I'm just going to get up in your face and eviscerate you.
I'm going to be like the cat from Azumanga Daioh. Just wrap my razor teeth around
your face. I thought you were talking about fucking Tao Kaka, who is basically that.
It is basically, yes.
I was just thinking of the giant cat.
So I have a picture of the first image I saw of Noelle.
Oh, weird.
You can see how I was just confused.
That must just be only in Tsukihime.
Probably. Probably.
Let's see. I finished up SMT5.
Oh, cool.
Neat.
You did that Sigma grind set, right?
Bob doesn't need no DLC.
Basically, yeah. I got to max level, which actually wasn't that bad. There are these things you pick up throughout the game called Gospels, and they give you enough experience to level up the main character.
Okay, yeah.
So by the time I got to the point where I wanted to get to max level, I had 15 of these or so. So that means I only really needed to get to level 85.
That's cool.
And then I even found some more because I found a good place to farm them.
Hmm.
So I only needed to get to level 80 at the end of it. So that wasn't that bad. So, because then it was just like, the only weird thing is they do a thing in this game where you use that. It gives you enough experience to level up, but you still need to go do a battle to level up, which is goofy.
It's like you need 0 points. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So even if you like the battle ends and they're like, nothing happened, level up.
So it's like 15 minutes of me walking around doing battles get those 20 levels in a row.
Lots of games have like weird things where you can't level up in the menu. That was also in Star Ocean 2 because they had the item to let you do that.
Oh, yeah. I know I've seen it before. I didn't expect Star Ocean 2 of all things. Jesus.
Yeah, you could do a really cool exploit where there was an accessory that raised a character's level by one. So you put that on, then you use the item that makes them have to do zero experience to level up. Then you level them up and remove the accessory and they keep the second level because of an exploit.
Nice.
However, it's not. Also, you can really easily make the level up items. But it doesn't matter because in Star Ocean 2, the level cap is 255 and these items only work up to 100.
Yeah, okay.
Which is high enough to beat the game, but not high enough to high enough to beat the bonus content.
It never stopped me from putting my points in strength, and I respect this.
That is smart. Yeah,
I love that because eventually that meter glows.
Yeah, no. So it maxes out at 100 allegedly. I'm at 168 or something.
Oh, yeah. You went for the same build as me.
Yeah, no, you never back down.
I think I started putting stuff into Vit, so I had like...
Not even once, Jesus. So
Jesus Christ.
It was worth it. This trivialized the end of the game completely.
Good.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That is the correct thing to do.
Because I didn't just do that. Doing getting to level 99 is like only a small part of becoming strong in SMT.
Yes.
This unlocked every fusion, basically, for demons.
Yes.
So I get to walk into the end of the game with level 99 demons like Beelzebub, Metatron, all sorts of insanity. Metatron's so good. He has a move that's literally like, don't touch that, and shoots his eyes lasers.
Yeah, he's always had that. It's my favorite. Beelzebub is ridiculous in this game where they're like, buffs only last three turns. Beelzebub's auto move, Boon Boost EX, add two more turns to that.
Yep. And I actually ended up not even finishing the game with him because I got something better.
Oh, God. Wow.
So I did all this powering up so I could get the secret ending and do some other bonus content. That bonus content was harder than the boss of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's always how it is.
But it was even... It was harder than the end of the secret ending to the game.
Yeah, they're like, here's a requirement to get to that secret ending, and it's much harder than the secret ending itself.
Yes.
I was so scared doing it. It was fucked up.
It was very funny to just be like, I think this would have been the boss of the game. I killed it in one turn. When I can crit and do 10,000 damage.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a lot in an SMT game.
Yeah. It's like, they aren't ready. They really aren't.
The only thing that could have stopped you is not finding the moves for your main character.
Man, Bob.
What's up?
You thought I broke incited with that chip that quadrupled my counter damage, which was already high as hell. It sounds like that's a moderate unhinging of the game compared to this.
Yeah, this is the level of unhinging where I played Trails of Cold Steel 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this super spell, you can cast one per battle. It uses up all your MP. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put it on the character and attach it to the thing that makes spells take more MP but cost more, because it can't cost more than the max.
Right.
But I'm also going to attach it to the thing that lets you regain health and MP based on how much damage you do.
What is this Magic also, the Gathering bullshit loophole you've made?
Also, I'm going to attach it to the thing that says the first thing you cast in every battle casts instantly instead of having a cast time.
Oh my god.
So I opened every boss fight in the back end of that game with it, and it's like, you are now missing 60% of your health, boss, that is supposed to take 15 minutes.
God.
SMT5 really, really said, we're going to be just like Nocturne, where strength is the most important thing in the entire game.
Good.
Because we're gonna give you those moves of this almighty strength-based attack. And I'm like, I guess I'll use charge to make it go up by 2.5 times and proc that thing that makes me crit.
Hey, there's also these things you can get for your skills that are literally just almighty does more damage.
There's two different versions
of this. You can equip both, and you get, like, 55% bonus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I picked that up, and I also picked up the most, like, this is the perfect filler move ever. I think it's, like, Yabusame shot, where it's, this attacks every enemy. It pierces, so even if they resist physical, it'll hit them, and it will always crit. But it's a really weak attack, but it always gives you a free turn. There's no reason not to use it.
There is no room on my build.
Oh, yeah. There's.
When do we?
It's tough.
Yeah, I also got a thing to make him, my main character, immune to basically everything.
Yes!
So you can fuse souls into your Kai to give him the defenses of other demons.
Yeah.
And one near the end of the game is like, oh, I'm immune to physical. I'm immune to fire. I'm immune to one other thing. And my only weakness is this. So then I got a separate skill that makes me immune to that.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, the only thing that can even hurt me now is being pierced, basically.
Yeah, my first run that wasn't the secret ending. I'm like, this boss is really tough. I'm gonna make myself absorb the element they're using.
But that's really cool. It does feel like there could be more a chunkier end to this game in general. I think a lot of people have said that. But it still feels really good.
Oh yeah,
it's still a great game.
Yeah, I had like some disappointment coming, like thinking on it later, of like they could have really fleshed out this last 20% to really nail it for me. But it was still filled to the brim with stuff to do and cool fights, and I was relieved there was an actual super boss that isn't paywalled.
Yeah,
that made me feel better about the fact that Demi-Fiend is locked behind a DLC.
Yeah, I hope that we get a director's cut or something when it hits other platforms, because it would be nice to see the Demi-Fiend stuff properly integrated in the game. Because I just,
oh yeah,
like it. There's nothing threatening about Matador or Hell Rider or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hellbiker.
Yeah, Hellbiker.
Them showing up but being a thing you can select to go to. Like, if they're just off to the side and you can go there, it's like, that's not threatening. That's not what this was.
Yeah, Nocturne, it was this thing of, they're about to show up. And then you could actually do a roll to avoid them, and it was like 50-50. And it was actually kind of the worst, because in the midpoint of that game, they would show up near every save point. for like, one of the four horsemen would do that. I'm like, I hate this. I don't need this right now.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need a structure like that, but they need to be forced fights inside the game. So if we get a director's cut, do that. Do a more fleshed out ending. Put in Dante, and we're set.
You know what?
No, put in Virgil.
Yeah, that's what I'm at. Put in Virgil.
and he's just like, no, I want to fight you because you're real strong.
It'll be easy. One of your moves in this just looks like Judgment Cut.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's it for SMT.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. Definitely suggest to anybody, even curious in this genre. Like, it's so much different from like a Pokemon or something. If you're just sitting on the sideline, like, no, I don't like monster catching games. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not really that.
No, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also tried out Monster Hunter Rise on PC. That game boots and runs at 3 frames per second on my computer.
Oh no.
Oh.
Unless I turn off my second monitor, then it runs like 120.
Yeah.
That hit me. I choked there.
I can't say with my three display setup that I had that, but that is hilarious.
Sure is PC gaming.
Yeah, it sure is. An unassailable beast.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this. I didn't play much of it. It definitely has higher fidelity assets than I expected it to, because it's a Switch port, but really it's like, this is just assets from World, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
It looks real nice, runs real well. Not much else to say, because I was mainly just freaking out over, why is it like this?
I'm just relieved that in some way it was possible to get it to run higher.
And then I played Chocobo GP, the mobile phone game they released yesterday. I
saw they're doing that as a tie-in thing.
Yeah, it's a tie-in to that Chocobo GP Switch game.
Yeah,
that's Mario Kart like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is instead a side scroller where you hit the left side of the screen to slow down and the right side to speed up. And the whole idea is you do jumps and you have to hit the jump going at the right speed so you don't crash. It's really terrible. And just boring.
I was eyeballing it when you were playing it earlier, and I'm like, this seems bad, but I'm unsure the angle's weird.
Yeah, I was like, well, maybe this is using balance, like I'm supposed to move the phone. No, it's not doing that.
Notice you moving the phone around.
It's literally just slow down before the jump. You cannot possibly see how big the jump is until you're off the jump, so the game is really just a matter of, okay, go through the level and figure it out, and then try it again.
Is Steiner in it?
No.
And then it's worthless.
Yeah, you seem to only be Chocobo in Mog.
Yeah, I'll just be waiting for the actual Switch game.
And that's everything I played.
Cool. KZ.
Hello.
What did you play?
I booted up Returnal again. you know, in time for, you know, we've been doing some Game of the Year stuff.
Yep.
I saw what it was like to get the loan again of $1 million, which is maybe the smallest loan in that of if you pick up the thing that gives you a part of a health extension, you get a shield. And my brain went, oh, yeah, it's the most important item in the entire game. Where it's like, that's the one thing that keeps your momentum in that. Yeah,
I don't know. I think the machine gun rocket launcher is pretty important.
Yeah, I feel like that's an important part. But if you get this, you can keep your adrenaline up and actually your weapon can actually do well at all against rooms that are incredibly heavy. I fought two things that were just bugged, I think. You know the really, really, really big guys in like Biome 4 that jump at you like from across the entire map? They're super huge. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to shoot him from a distance. And he just locked up. So I could just hold the fire button for a minute straight and then it died. And I'm like, I don't know why this happened. I'm thankful for it. So yeah, that's still vibing.
Mm-hmm.
I also booted up the Monster Hunter Rise demo. Yeah, that runs so much better than it did on the Switch. The Switch had the... did the miracle of being stable, which many Switch games do are not stable at all. That are newer. So I was shocked that it did that. Monster Hunter Rise becomes a lot better when you're using a DualSense.
Yeah,
and not the Switch Pro controller.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is man, this is popping off. I'm trying to think of other things that I played because, you know, we've been working on a lot of end of 2021 type of content. But no, I didn't have time to play anything new.
Feel.
I played Forza Horizon 5 some.
Ooh. Oh,
cool.
Oi.
I didn't really get too much into it. Just I don't like the way the cars feel in that game. You know, I like more arcadey feeling racing games, I guess.
I mean,
I'm not actually that familiar with the racing games as a genre.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks fucking gorgeous though, and I am really excited for Gran Turismo 7.
Yeah, this is like
just from the visual angle.
Yeah, this is like a half step. So it has to also be on
last gen.
I just meant in terms of like it being an arcade versus simulation. This is the Forza game that's meant to be more arcadey, but it's still trying to be sim in a way where it's still trying to be realistic. So I feel like at times it felt like it was clashing a bit where I'm like, you kind of want to be this one, but you're not.
Yeah.
All the time. You're still going to spin out like an idiot a lot.
Yeah. I didn't even have problems with handling. I just think it's a handling system and physics and everything that maybe don't. Like, I just didn't find it that fun.
Yeah, that's also where I am. It's just like, this doesn't have that. Also, I feel like at least in like the first couple hours, I'm not going fast enough. I feel like I should, like, there should at least be moments where I'm just screaming down a straightaway.
Okay, I gotta ask you a really important question that I totally don't know the answer to. You playing at 30 frames per second or 60?
No, of course I'm playing on. Of course I'm playing on performance mode.
Well, the answer here is simple. Feel, you got to roll that slot machine and get a good car.
Yeah, that's another thing that's probably going to keep me from playing much more of it. Is just it's like it has all these things.
Yes, the things that feel scummy.
Have you ever seen the Pro ZD skit about the egg?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yes.
That is how Forza Horizon feels, especially because there's like a whole tab in the menu I won't go into. It's like it's like the service game freaks tab where it's like, here's your daily challenge and your weekly challenge and you can do this. And I'm like, no. You don't exist. I'm pushing you behind the curtain and closing the curtain. We're not engaging.
I like slot machines. It's funny when they go up and down. They have some awful shit in those slot machines that actually kind of upsets me, where it's like, we have cars and money to buy the cars you want, but also a bow tie for your character and a different horn.
And anytime
I hit those, I'm like, you stole my future from me.
I'm gonna be honest. All racing game developers, just put a dude in a helmet.
I mean, yeah, like the character is dire.
Dude, rest,
every racing game gets better if you can pretend you're the guy from Trials Fusion.
I deliberately just made my guy into the Coomer meme. Where his hair is all patchy. Yes.
Good job.
I showed Dan my character because he looked so horrible.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, good.
I didn't do anything to him. It was just that's the default model, and I was in one of those cars that's like, there is like no top part to it at all. So he's just hanging out in there.
Really, really glad I got a bow tie for my reanimated corpse that is driving this car.
Now all I can think of is the time that I saw one of these avatars doing the Macarena. I was like, why?
No.
Why?
No.
Please.
The best part of that game feels when you get a new car and then you go to the design thing and it's all the viewer submitted ones. So you can either put Super Saiyan Blue Goku on them or the Joker.
That menu was so confusing because I couldn't find just, I want the car to be red.
I do not think that exists.
Instead, it's like, here is an anime girl from Girls Frontline. Like,
I saw an Akamaga Kill skin on there and I thought about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm more excited for like a purely next gen racer now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because I feel like the SSD will be like, no, you can just go 300 miles an hour.
They have been getting better at the sense of speed in Gran Turismo over the years, because all sim racers have that feeling of you're not moving that fast, but then you look at the speedometer, and then you try and turn, you spin out.
Yeah, that's kind of how Forza feels at times for me.
Yeah.
Also, I had to look up a guide on how to drift in Forza, because I'm like, this ain't working no matter what I do. What is the sauce?
And it's like, no, you have to tap the button and turn into it, and then hit the accelerator at this very specific time so you don't spin out for 45 minutes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd rather just hit the button and turn and then hit the gas again and kind of be done with that turn.
I'm sorry, you're signing up for real driving. It's rough.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to have to approach a moderate, not a harsh 90, but a moderate turn the way some people approach approach the savage content in Final Fantasy 14. Like, I just want to turn the corner and move on. Thank you.
Your car flipped in front of a bunch of snakes.
Also, it's just like, this sure is a pretty open environment. Can we get? Will there be a level in Gran Turismo 7 that's just Shinjuku? Because I want to see that in 4K hyper fidelity.
There is a famous racetrack that usually ends up.
Yes.
You know, it's just here. We're in the middle of some Japanese city.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. My brain is bringing up Tokyo Circuit and I'm like, it can't really just be called that, can it?
Yeah. We need like a new midnight club.
I mean, yes, that is true and has always been true.
Yes.
It is just stupid that they have not.
But Rockstar owns that franchise, so never.
I believe the one in Gran Turismo, and I could be wrong, because I'm trying to bring this up as quickly as possible.
Apparently Take-Two name-checked Midnight Club yesterday.
Ooh.
Ooh.
They did it in relation to the Zynga buyout, so maybe something's going to happen. Probably a fucking mobile game.
Yep.
Gran Turismo might have the Fuji Speedway. I think that's what it has in Japan.
I think that's out in the field, though. I don't feel like that's one in the middle of a city.
There are a number. Oh, God. Tokyo Expressway. Okay, it's not just Tokyo Circuit. It's Tokyo Expressway. Yeah, I remember. I think that's the one that Kazunori Yamachi was like, I go out there and drive every week.
Yeah.
That the one where he's like, this is great. I drive there all the time. Yeah. I'm insane.
It was really good because I believe he said he was driving a Miata. And I was like, yeah, he gets it.
He's like, I will always be cracked out for cars,
which is good. Yeah. For me, when it comes to Gran Turismo, because here's the thing with the Forza Horizon 5, it's not arcadey enough for the environment and stuff to feel super cool and fun to drive through for me. You know, the others out there definitely feel differently. And it's not constrained enough and hyper realistic enough. Like the Gran Turismo fidelity is just higher than this, generally speaking. to make me just in awe of eye porn the whole time.
Right.
Like, Forza Horizon 5 looks really great, but it doesn't look like a highly detailed racing circuit. So I don't know. For me, it just fell right in the middle of two strong interests, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that feels weird because I always imagined I would enjoy Forza Horizon more. Like, whenever they show up at E3 and stuff, they show really cool stuff every time. Like, you know, when they added, I mean, even just the conceit of the one in England where they're like, we're cycling seasons. Like, I thought that was cool as shit when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. That's the first one where they show them just, you can drive through brick walls.
Yes, exactly why that one was cool. And, like, I always thought that was neat. I really liked it when they started doing the insane DLC stuff. But, yeah, when I tried Horizon 5, it just fell somewhere in the middle. So I just kind of fell off after a few sessions.
Yeah, I feel like it needed to... I feel like these games, for me, I would like them more if they leaned more into the arcade-y.
Yeah.
Type of thing, so that the other one can be full on sim in that way. I feel like I only really latched onto 5 more once I got into the city maps and started chipping away at races in there, because a lot of the open world activities weren't the greatest thing in the world. I think some of them are hilarious though. Drive up to this temple head, take a picture.
Yeah, it's
that one.
I don't know.
Funny.
It's strange.
Yeah, that one was pretty funny. But yeah. Anyway, I'm done. Done drawing. Yeah.
It's also really car culture-y, which I'm like, car culture-y in a strange way?
Yes.
That feels not real. That feels not real. Like, I would understand the hyper-focus on upgrading and parts and stuff, but then there's, like, the dude Fortnite dancing in front of your car when you win a race, and I'm like, and like the weird, it's the Forza event. Get to the new Forza stage. And yeah. I'm like,
right.
It's like an Ubisoft this feels version so of bizarre. Car
culture. Riders Republic.
I have the perfect description. This is not what I view as actual car culture, because actual car culture is really cool. This is these people are music fans, in as much as people who want to go to a giant music festival and get shit faced are music fans. Like, because they don't have this cool culture of like, okay, this game is about tuning all these different parts of your car to really, really tune your car to this experience. I can't consider it a part of normal car culture. It does just have that Ubisoft stank on it, like Bob was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has the energy of like a very corporate, like Google wants to make Burning Man.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, man. Google wants to make Burning Man. Hello, fellow dude. They had to look up what to call people.
The other thing I got back into is 30XDX.
Yes.
Or 30XX if you aren't an idiot like I am.
I was really fucking confused.
But Homestar Runner put 20XD6, so now it has to be 30XDX forever.
That's fair.
I understand, but do not condone.
That game feels sickeningly good. That game needs to have 120 FPS mode whenever it comes to consoles, because it's not fair if they don't also get to feel that.
Yeah, I really hope that we see that and have a bespoke PS5 version and everything.
It's like, it's so responsive at the fucking insane frame rate I'm running it at on my 144 hertz monitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I thought this game was supposed to be hard.
Yeah, no, that game feels like butter. One of the comments the dev made about like playtesters and stuff trying it on higher frame rate stuff said it's so responsive it feels like it's reading your mind, because people are just not used to games responding that fast. That game is literally the most responsive platformer ever, possibly the most responsive game ever.
Yeah, it's insane. Also, because I'm using a DualSense.
Yes.
Now, devs of 30XDX, please, the boss that has the PlayStation buttons options, like shooter options around him.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's still really unclear that you have to stand inside that guy's green barrier and shoot him.
I'm trying to remember which boss that is, because I have abstained.
He's like the astronaut in the chair, and he floats around and shoots the circle, triangle, and cross buttons at you. And once he gets like to half health, he throws up like a big green barrier around him that will never break.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
And you just have to stand in it to shoot him. And I'm like, it's not that you would not look at that and think,
okay, I need to stand inside it and shoot him.
You would think that would hurt you.
You're talking about the robot sitting in the chair.
Yeah, Legacy is his name.
Yeah, in the late neon dimension where it looks like Cyber Peacocks level almost. Okay.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I remember doing that closer to when it came out. I was like, this is an insane strategy to fight this boss.
Yeah, I think I first saw that boss with you playing. I was like, wait, you're doing that?
Yeah,
you
just I'm living in here with him. I'm his roommate now.
Yeah, it's... And they seem to know because I Googled it. I paused my run and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? He's not changing phases or having like a vulnerable phase. The fuck am I supposed to do? And it's like, oh no, you're supposed to stand inside him. At some point we'll change the visuals to in any way convey that that's what you're supposed to do, but it's still not like it now. Yeah. So I don't know if they've changed it and it wasn't enough or if they haven't even gotten to it yet.
Yeah, because this game's still in early access, and once I realized,
in early access,
it's not going to be relevant to Game of the Year because it's early access and we don't allow those. So I actually haven't touched it in 6 months.
It has like 7 bosses now.
Yeah, it has a chunk.
That's how many I got through before I died.
This is how I know they keep adding bosses. They update the Amazon Prime Music list for the album every time they add a boss. I'm like, whoa, this is a song I haven't heard.
But yeah, that game, when that game is done, if you like side scrollers at all, you need to get it because it's insane to play a game that feels that good to just move in.
Yeah, it's completely nuts. And it's like, wow, this could have been the future, huh? Like we could just have a litany of platformers that feel this good.
Also, sometimes you get the small loan of $1 million and it's like you can now double jump and you have a 8-way air dash.
Yes, that does happen. You shoot giant 3-way bullets that I got
last night.
Yes, it's really great. It's just like, I'm going to cover the screen and shit. Everything's fully charged automatically.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, devs, like, I get that you need things to let you unlock. You need to that auto-charge shit needs to be default.
I like being able to let go of a button to shoot. But I think it should be an option.
Just put in an option.
100%. Like, they should surface that thing on your first boot and just be like, hey, would you like to let the game auto-charge for you and just tap when you want to shoot?
So, yeah, 30XCX is very good. It's one of the few games that I'm like, no, get it in early access.
Yeah, same. It was a great experience playing it in early access.
If you have a 144Hz monitor, you need to understand what this feels like.
I agree, yeah.
And then get mad that every game doesn't feel this way.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, most game engines, or many game engines, I should say, are hard locked to 60 hertz or whatever they are when people make platformers. This thing's coded from the ground up at an engine level to just be a delta-based thing. So it can run at any number of frame rates, and the higher the frame rate you can run it at, the better it feels. So it's just insane. Like, it feels exceptional. What one thing I would like to see eventually, but I will never spend the money to see this, is one of those 300Hz monitors running this.
Ooh.
Because that would literally be nausea-inducing, I bet.
I'm trying to think if I played anything else, really. I was considering playing a Need for Speed game.
Okay.
But there's 5 of them on Game Pass, so I didn't know which one to do, so I did none of them.
Now imagine that, but it wasn't Need for Speed specifically, and you understand choice paralysis.
What you should have done is looked up which one had the live-action cutscenes in it.
This is correct.
I believe that one's called Need for Speed.
Yes! I think I settled on Need for Speed Heat, but didn't actually download it. So maybe I'll do that at some point.
That is the most recent one where they knew it was going to be so bad that after E3 and their own event, they quietly announced it.
I remember the launch night for that.
Yeah.
It was funny. Two people showed up. It was like, your games.
Oh.
It was like, okay, cool. I'm so excited. I love Need for Speed. And then I never heard from them again.
Then within like 4 months, they said, we're re-examining Need for Speed. Also, we're getting Criterion to come back to the series to try and salvage it.
Yep.
Until they forced them to work on Battlefield
Good.
To get that ship.
Great. I'm done now. We can move on.
Okay. Well, Bob, what are you up to in the next week?
The Pod Lords.
Oh, shit!
Oh, fuck!
Oh, my God!
It's the Pod Lords.
It's the Pod Lords.
Pod Lords such as Ely Broyles, Corey Brown, ugh, Warm Pepsi Man.
Oh, come on.
Why would you destroy a hero like that? Red Blaze 27. Juicifrost, the insufferable troglodyte. Suzu Shiro. Emperor Zero. Shiba Yagato. Fun fact, the writer behind the official most fucked up thing in 40K lore works at Riot as a lead world builder.
I don't know what thing that is, so okay, but okay.
Okay.
Danny Richardson. Rado, under the effects of the disease.
Oh no!
Ah!
That's tragic.
Oh no.
101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered.
Shh. Gary's sleeping.
Not Gary.
He works so hard.
Right? Yep.
WTF Spider-Man. Mister, I like spam. Happy New Year's, BTD crew. Hope 2022 will be a good one and Game of the Year podcast doesn't immediately curse itself. DFW3K. Muckbun. Shiny Mew. Kristen. Toonberry is perpetually trapped in a never-ending spiral of life and doink.
God. Jesus.
Godhand. Steam Deck Edition.
I wish.
Real talk. Real talk time. Adam is now going to get back down into fixing himself and losing weight and all that. I can do this. Pick unrelated. Also, pick incredibly cut off, so I didn't include it because he said it was unrelated.
Mm.
So if that's sarcasm, I didn't absorb it.
Yeah. Don't do sarcasm.
Don't do sarcasm with a horribly cut off image where I can't even read it.
Hypothetically.
Kyle Bjork. Zilter. There is no bit. I'm sleepy. Iron Aggro. Lig de Blue. Schligged as poo. The reward for my Legends Arceus pre-order. God be sitting.
Hell yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Ryzen and Raiden. This Podlord might not get a single off day this month.
Ugh.
That's unfortunate.
That's
gross. In January of all months. Jordan. Aggro, hyphen. You know, I'm somewhat of a teacher myself. Cooper, tank. Welcome and well met, my brave little spark. BN12. AG's Bird Facts. The player character in Death's Door is a hooded crow, my personal favorite bird.
He is a cool bird.
It's a really good bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great bird.
Doesn't want soup.
I don't subscribe to many Patreons, but you're one of the good ones.
Oh, no.
No.
Thanks, Podlord. You're so kind.
Drive type cam. Fluffy around and find out. Indigo Sykes. Women want Kirby. Fish fear Kirby.
Yeah.
Evil Lucario. A raccoon that loves pancakes. My grandmother once said a cuisine's flavor is decided by preparation and performance. It's the same with battle. Aspiring Bamani Ambassador Shinji 16 wants to remind you that you matter, you are valid, and you deserve to be happy.
Thank you.
Women want me, Poyo. Fish fear me, Poyo. And Veervarb, thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
And if you'd like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits such as early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when those shows' formats force us to leave ideas on the cutting room floor, and a Patreon-exclusive show, one per month, where you get to vote on and decide what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. And if you don't have any money, it helps us a lot if you just spread the word. And if you don't have anybody to spread the word to, I recommend moving out of your Antarctic science station. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Don't worry, the science will do itself.
Yeah. Or you could at least tell the thing. He's right there.
He's right there. Can't you tell which one he is? Quick!
Maybe we shouldn't
let
you
out. It's
the dog! Yeah, maybe you should stay there, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, you should probably leave before the thing or the Schwarzwelt opens up.
So we've got some news. Plenty of interesting news, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll talk about my favorite news of the week first.
Uh-huh.
Armored Core.
Yeah!
It's real.
It's... Man.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Yeah, we had leaks from private surveys. We've got images. We've got text blurbs that came from it.
Lore.
These images are the most on-brand Armored Core looking shit possible. And the text blurbs sound like a direction they would take the series from there. Here's the problem, Bob.
What's up?
I'm going to read a paragraph to you and explain what's wrong.
Okay.
The sci-fi world created by Hidetaka Miyazaki. From Software's unique and deep sci-fi worldview and multi-layered story, set on the planet Bashtar, a sci-fi world devastated by a planet-wide disaster with an overwhelming sense of scale that only Mecha can provide. Bob, Bashtar just reminds me of Strong-R from Strong-Imals from Saturday Morning All-Star Hits, and it's killing me.
Oh, my God.
Because Bashtar sounds like it should belong in an 80s cartoon about people who battle on a planet.
Sure.
It does just sound fake in a weird way.
But yeah, everything described here sounds pretty good. Mm. It sounds like this leak came from at least two people, but I'm not sure. Either way... Maybe it's happening, you guys.
I love how at first it was text only, mm-hmm. where someone's like, I got access to this, but we can't release it because they put watermarks like all over the screenshot. So they so they're like, all right, I fucked up the screenshot, so every watermark's gone. So there's just, it looks like you're looking through blinds.
It does, yeah. It looks like ones and zeros just occupying the full screen, basically in a scan line formation almost. It's pretty good.
This thing.
Uh-huh.
This makes sense because it feels like Elden Ring is the penultimate version of a FromSoft Dark Souls game.
Yeah, I feel like in no world. Yeah, in no world do you want to line up to do another one of those immediately.
Yeah.
It was 4 years ago they talked about how they had multiple big projects that they were going to be doing. And then this is also around the time there's like a Armored Core like anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and people were like, is the VR game they did count? And Miyazaki's like, no, that does not count. So it seems like they're making good on the fact that yes, they are in fact making one of those.
It was extra scary because, you know, the producer left and made Demon Ex Machina a long while ago now.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah,
so it was like, does anyone at the company still care?
But yeah, it looks like the source is currently, at least from what I'm seeing, only one person. For anyone who wants to see all the pictures and stuff, Reset Era has a From Software thread on Armored Core.
Mm-hmm.
And they spell it with a U, because they're wrong.
That,
yeah, oi.
That,
I'm like, that's packaged meat armor.
Don't go in there and read any comments from other people. Just read these.
just look at the pictures.
Just look at the pictures, read the text blurb.
Look at the text blurb.
Oh, man.
Whatever, you can just go on Gamatsu. All of it's on there.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That is where I saw it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I really love Armored Core. Everyone who's way too worried about like, oh, it sounds like it might be too Dark Souls. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but honestly, in the grand scheme of Armored Core, you could move closer to Dark Souls and be closer to what I want than some like 4. Because 4 went hyper anime, everything's really, really fast, and it lost the feel of the earlier ones, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Admittedly, by the end of it all, they started moving back towards, you know, weight and small movement being important in detailed environments.
So I don't know. I'm very optimistic about this. I would love to see Dark Souls money sprayed all over Armored Core. That right. would be fantastic.
They are a completely different style of studio now than they were back then. Like, they have so much budget comparatively.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's not even close. Keep in mind, the last time they made an Armored Core, they were what? They were on Dark Souls 1? Because Armored Core 5, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Armored Core 5 was the last one.
So it might have been Dark Souls 2. It might have been
Dark Souls 2. Yeah, they have a lot more money now. Not sure if you guys knew. But yeah, anyway, let's move on from there to Bob News. Bob.
Sure.
News.
So the CEO of Platinum Games sat down, Kenichi Sato, and he's being replaced by Atsushi Inaba, who is already the vice president. So this is a very, like, he is over the whole studio now, but I'm not sure how much that's going to actually change. The Kenichi Sato is also just stepping down and going to be on the board, so he's not even fully leaving.
Okay. So there's a strong possibility that maybe nothing changes.
Yeah, I feel like this means basically nothing, but who knows? Maybe that other guy was really holding the company back. I have no idea. I really don't.
Yeah, no. But it's important to cover news like this.
Right.
Because then in retrospect, we can be like, remember on Big Think Dimension 153 when they replaced that guy and then everything was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he released a statement and the statement did not include saying they're switching to Unreal Engine, which is disheartening.
I feel like when you change CEOs, that should be at the top of your list.
Yes.
You write me a fucking letter explaining this shit, and it doesn't contain the phrase, we're changing to Unreal Engine 4. My mailbox is just also a paper shredder.
If Bamco gets a new CEO, I want in their article to be, and also all our fighting games will have rollback in them now.
That would be great.
And the only other news I have is they released a cool new trailer for Pocky and Rocky Reshrined.
They did. It looks dope.
Yeah. It comes out on April 21st in Japan. We don't have a US release date yet, but this new trailer showed off, three new characters. It looks great. They showed a bunch of bosses. They have new artwork done by like the original dude. So it all looks like 80s or early 90s anime.
Yeah, I know. It looked perfect. I was like, this is what I want if you're reviving an old thing.
Yeah.
I don't want it to look hyper anime of the now.
It's really great. And those new characters look like a lot of fun. We don't have English names for any of these yet, so we just have the Japanese names. We have Ame no Uzumi, who seems to be some sort of goddess.
Yeah, I thought she was Kaguya at first.
Right. Ikazuchi, who is some sort of weird, it looks like she's an imposter of the main character Pocky.
Yeah,
but is a weird
it looks like she's like a tanuki imitating.
Yeah, she looks more vicious than a regular tanuki, because like Rocky's a tanuki.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And then the final one, Gozen Hotaru, is a spear wielder, and it looks like most of his attacks are, or maybe her, I'm not sure. Most of the attacks are melee focused. Like, it doesn't seem that they can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. Disbelief this is real.
That game looks
ludicrous.
We're
in the era of crossover characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm need you to put Reimu in.
Yes. This is correct.
But you have to beat the hardest difficulty to unlock her, because she just shoots beams and just erases everything.
That would be really funny.
It's like, wow, this is easy. I'm not fighting someone who has some bullshit fucking... Every single character in Toho has, like, King Crimson as their power.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
It's like, wow, I'm not having to deal with that. This is relaxing.
Nice day off. Let's see. We should move on to someone else's news. Before I do, though, this is one of those tests where if you make the comment saying Armored Core 5 was the last one, then you didn't wait 10 minutes later into the podcast when I say, to clarify, the spinoff of 5 was the last one, Verdict Day.
Yeah, but it's like an 5. Expansion pack.
Yes,
yeah.
It is like 4 answers for 4.
Right.
But I figured I'd add that in. We're going to move to Feel.
Okay, so Nintendo announced a Switch shortage starting right now.
There's something really funny about that.
And that's hilarious because, like, yeah, there's been a Switch store this whole time. What are you talking about?
I know.
More of one.
It's really funny. We've been dealing with what you would call a shortage for almost 2 years.
Yeah, but there was a shortage when we first went into the pandemic.
Whatever, uh-huh. whatever. You still
now
got
there's
us.
There's more of one.
You still got us like 100 million. I guess it's okay.
So there's that, and that wouldn't be a big deal, but there's been a rumor that was a couple months ago that was NVIDIA going, the rumor was that NVIDIA was ceasing production of some critical Switch component.
Yeah, it sounded like they were stopping the production of the Mariko, which is the heart of the Switch. And that rumor was March of last year, so it was 10 months ago. And the rumor was they will stop at the end of this year. So all of this timing up made me lose it. I'm like, are you serious?
Well, I wonder what's happening.
And it's January and this story has appeared.
So if you're one of those people who are like, who the Switch Pro not materializing made you go, no, they're never gonna replace the Switch. It's gonna be a Game Boy thing and be 10 years. It's like, looks like not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus there's also the fact that once you hit 100 million, you're really close to market saturation.
Yeah, you're really
like,
close.
It's time to give people something else to buy.
And on top of those factors, there's other factors like, if they're going to have to update the chip and the Switch to make it more producible now, then why wouldn't they just make a new Switch? Like, to some extent, it starts to make a lot more sense, especially since you're seeing the Switch really strain, like the games on it, strain against the hardware. So in a number of different ways, this makes a lot more sense than a Switch Pro. And also, we have more reliable sources already about the Switch, too.
I'm like, whatever. You already passed the Wii. I think you can make a new one now.
Yeah, the consoles tend not to... 100 million really seems to be, like, the ceiling on console sales, unless you're the PS2, and it's like...
the Giga-Chad.
I'm also the first affordable, commercially available DVD player.
And I get down to, like, what, $150 or something by the end?
The PS2 got down to 99.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Bob, it was 100 by the end. And every time I think about that, I'm like, fucking nothing has been $100 since.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing.
Definitely not a fucking PS4.
Wait, Dan. I think there was one other thing that was 99.
I don't think the Wii hit 99.
What about the Wii Mini?
The Wii Mini did. The Wii Mini did.
The Canadian exclusive product, the Wii Mini.
It wasn't exclusive, it was just highly limited in the States.
We removed its organs.
Yes.
fuck the Wii Mini.
McDonald's is like, well, we're bringing back the dollar menu despite it. We're separate from the value menu. On the dollar menu, you get a half-eaten McDouble.
I was gonna say, what's on the dollar menu? Fucking 6 chicken nugget sleeves?
I thought it was going to be buns.
Just
buns. Yeah, you don't get anything in the buns.
Would you like some fancy sauce for your bun? That'll make it $1.10.
God damn it.
So yeah, I'm excited over the prospect of a new Switch. I feel bad for anyone who hasn't gotten a Switch. Don't worry, if they make a new one, that'll improve the supply of Switches from people who get the new one. That's how that works.
But the new one will also be limited, so you know.
Oh yeah, the new one's going to be fucked. absolutely fucked. It is going to be even worse than the PS5, I'm calling it now.
Yeah, I should.
Unless it doesn't have back compat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should. I should go pre-order Dead Island 2.
And Casey's like, switch that over to the new console. They're like, you have to come in and do that. He's like, fuck.
Dan, we gotta go.
So Dying Light 2 put out a really stupid tweet, their media social media account, saying the game was 500 hours long. But then everybody got mad at them because nobody wants to play a game that's 500 hours long.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, we actually meant... It was a really pathetic walk back, because their walk back image, I need to read exactly what it was.
It was very funny.
Yes. Because there were two walk back images. They did two of these.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The first one was... here's how they got the 500 hours number.
Okay.
500 hours, time needed to max out the game with all main and side quests, every choice in every quest and ending, checking every single place on the map, and hearing every single piece of dialogue and finding every collectible. That's not real.
Right.
You don't get to say that's your length.
Yeah, no, that's psychotic already. Why pump it up like that? Why?
Mass Effect is the biggest video game series ever made.
This has always been the worst shit where they were... developers are like, here is how long our game is, and it's like a lie, but this might be the worst one ever where they're like, the main story is 20 hours.
Yeah, because first they do the tweet of like, well, if you just look at all the main quests and side quests, it's 80 hours, and then later on they're like, okay, our main story is 20 hours long, please stop yelling at us.
It was so funny because I followed someone in games media who's like, I went to a preview and they told me it was like a 20 hour game, so I don't know what's going on here.
I like the Devolver Digital tweet of, it will take 500 hours to beat oh my god,
Shadow Warrior,
yeah, Shadow
3,
Warrior
60
3,
times
60 times.
To the point where the
meaning, meaning that game's 8 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good.
God damn it.
It's like, how does your social media guy get approved to tweet this? Come on. Think a little bit.
I don't know.
People are like, there's not a lot of good social media guys in the industry, as sad as it is.
No, even though every single company needs one. In every single franchise was an accompanied one. There are not enough of those people to go around.
Our game is for you if you buy one game every 3 years.
And lastly, Hyper Dimension Neptunia, Sisters versus Sisters. revealed some new characters. There's some really funny ones. Like, they are including a Frant, because Neptunia will have characters that represent companies or consoles or franchises even.
Right.
So, one of them is a character based on Higurashi When They Cry. And what's really funny is she has, like, a lightsaber billhook as her weapon.
Oh, God, it's her.
Because that's like the most notable thing from.
Yeah, I was like, you have to pick the one that explicitly murders in all the promo art.
well, they're never actually a character; they're just like representative of characters from that, which I think is lame. They should just make it transparently the character wearing a different costume.
Yeah,
but they don't seem to like doing that.
It's an interesting idea. I appreciate their effort here.
So do I, but it should be more blatant. You need to be brave. And also there's one for Team Shanghai Alice who just looks like Neptunia Reimu in a funny hat.
I'm gonna try to Google this real quick.
And of course they're literally named these things because it's Neptunia, so the Team Shanghai Alice character is literally named Team Shanghai Alice.
So what kind of game is this? I was super unclear seeing the screenshots of it.
I assume it's just the exact same fucking RPG shit.
Okay, I was like, is this a battle royale for Neptunia? That'd be hilarious.
No, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. But I feel like they won't actually bother to do that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure this is just the exact. Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots like, yeah, this is the same RPG on the exact same maps we've had. I can see maps from the first game in these screenshots.
Oh no!
How cozy! What a cozy franchise.
I can assume that there was at some point where they gave them like like an eighth gen scale up, but I'm sure the layout is still and aesthetics are still exactly the same. But yeah, that is not a lot of news this week. That's mine.
We're now moving to KZ.
All right, we got a large variety of things here. My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble got announced. This is a 24-man Battle Royale game coming out for PS4, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
Mm.
Damco's doing this thing with their anime license where they're like, okay, we won't do arena brawlers. We will instead do Dead by Daylight Battle Royales.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you think this will compare to Dragon Ball The Breakers?
I don't even know.
It's more like... This comes off to me more like... Because people are... I feel like that the My Hero One's Justice fucking thing has entered like a Xenoverse like state where there's a like a million people who just play that all day every day.
It definitely has that Xenoverse
and
energy
because it keeps getting new characters.
It definitely has that Xenoverse energy of they put out one and then they immediately put out a second one and they're supporting that one constantly.
So I imagine this is just like, well, we don't want to stop people from buying the current one. So let's make a new weird thing.
I need to see this in motion. It sounds funny.
It does sound funny. I really wish that JoJo one was on something that wasn't an arcade machine.
God, I forgot.
Yeah,
I need more crazy stuff for anime licensed games. After we got out of the rut of they're all like arena fighting games too. Here's a battle royale. Here's the Black Clover 4v4 mage shooter.
Yeah, that was based on that was actually a story arc they did in Black Clover. They had like the video game in the series.
Oh
God.
where it's like, okay, the teams are 4v4, you gotta destroy the other team's crystal.
Oh, okay. Next up, this came out today. Hitman announced their year 2 content for Hitman 3. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, we're gonna continue supporting the game while they work on their James Bond game. They officially announced the Hitman Trilogy Collection, where it's just gonna have all three games, which means you'll be able to play Hitman 3 and play all the content with various updates and
now that quality of life stuff. Might be 500 hours of content.
Honestly, yes. This also that's gonna launch on Game Pass.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So if you just have that, boom. There's gonna be no questioning of what I need to grab.
That's true.
To have the thing I need for Hitman.
I like that it makes it unambiguous.
Yeah. They're also working on a brand new map that they're going to be able to reveal, I think, in the spring.
Okay.
They're making Elusive Target Arcade, which I didn't get a good sense of what that exactly is. Elusive targets in the game as they are now are, there is a target. You have one chance. And they do, and they're like special events based on time. Like one of them was, we got Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Go do it. Go see if you can on this map. So this arcade mode, I wonder what other quirks they'll be able to add to it. And they also are going to be adding a freelancer mode that features roguelike elements and a customizable safe house and a lot of strategic planning setup, which for Hitman, I can see that working in some way of, oh, each time is different. That really feeds into the adapting to whatever's going on in those maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like a good fit.
Yeah, especially now that they're really rolling it out as like a trilogy mode. That's like 15 or 16 maps.
Yeah,
that you can just go around in. So all this seems really, really smart. I guess I need to jump back into that. That's the top of my list of games that came out the start of last year that I played all of Hitman 1. And one mission of two. And I'm like, this is getting better. I put on a mascot outfit in a Florida racetrack, and that was great. I need to actually get to the new stuff they made, because visually it looked insane.
Well, you only have 380 hours to go.
Yeah, I'm working my way through it. There is a lot of Sony things that popped up this week.
Yes.
So I just made it a block.
Cool.
It's been a while since we have one of those. First up, Sony's pulling PS Now retail cards from various places, at the very least UK retailers. Another sign pointing toward the updated PS Plus service where they're just killing the PS Now branding.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of our viewers is apparently pulling them down in Canada.
Yeah, so.
And I believe Bob earlier was saying that this already happened in the States.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, so this matches
what is that
up.
Total global desaturation?
I guess. What's the rumored name is
the code
Spartacus,
name is Spartacus.
Right?
Yeah, okay. The project name is Spartacus.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
Spartacus, and that they were going to lean in more to PS Plus as being the banner for all of it.
Yeah, like they would have Plus, and then they had a tier of Plus.
Yeah,
Plus Ultra. Gotcha.
Yeah, Plus Ultra Max.
Like there would be three tiers: the base one, then two above tiers.
PlayStation Plus Applebee's TGIF Max.
Let's go. Getting a PS5 is still hard. It's hard for them to make those things. So yeah. In response to that, Sony this year will continue making PS4s, about a million of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
Why not?
I mean, they're going to be releasing a major first party title for it at the end of the year. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, God of War is supposed to still be on that.
Yeah, it's cross gen.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me cry though, because there's footage and we've already seen footage of, which I'm sure is something he can only do in the PS5 version, probably, of Kratos just throwing the Blades of Chaos into the top of a cliff and instantly pulling himself up the whole thing.
Well, here's the thing. It could be in the PS4 version as well, and that version just looks worse to make it a lot more practical, yeah. Which I am all for.
Or Kratos has to spin the Blade of Chaos for 35 seconds to get momentum.
He's like, one second. Don't want to mess this up.
He's on the frozen lake, and for some reason on PS4, it's much slower. You just can't.
He only has one dog.
Oh no, I need to play the Gears of War 5 before we play this, just because it also has a frozen lake you explore with some sort of
a
dog pulling you.
I did pick up a physical copy of Gears 5, so that way we could.
Yeah, they seemingly like, had a similar structure where there is that giant zone in it and you can go to different places in it.
Yeah. That everyone seemed confused by.
Yes.
I haven't played it, so I have no take, but that's what I caught from other people. They were like, yeah, it's a normal Gears game, and then that happens?
It's like Uncharted Lost Legacy or The Last of Us Part 2.
I hope it's closer to that first one. let me pull out my map here. Where am I again?
Oh, right. Nowhere near this. This was a map for one city block.
If Gears 5 has a boat ramp... Okay, I get it. My next one, my last one for Sony here.
Mm.
Video Games Chronicle is continuing reporting on the Twisted Metal game that is still unannounced. And it is no longer being made by Lucid Games, developers of Destruction All-Stars, and is now in development by Firesprite, who are also working on that Horizon Call of the Mountain VR.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Southern, who's the director of various MotorStorm games and the original pitcher for Drive Club, was poached from Lucid, who is the game director over there, and is now the game director at Firesprite for this game.
Well, that makes me feel better that the director of MotorStorm followed the Twisted Metal game that's in development.
Yeah.
Also, Firesprite has shipped a lot of games, and Lucid really just made Destruction All-Stars so far.
Yeah.
Which isn't a game.
It's real rough.
It's 55% of a game.
Who knows? By now, maybe it's a game and it costs $80. Oh. I haven't looked at the store page for the story mode yet.
I'd rather not.
It would be funny to check it out again on the 1 year anniversary.
That would be funny. It was like the 1 year anniversary also was shutting down.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, poor Angelo.
And
oh wow,
Twinkle
you
can Riot.
You actually have to buy Destruction All Stars now.
Yeah, no, that was only a free at launch.
$20.
Yeah, they gave you like a 2 to 3 month window for that.
Right.
I feel like $20
you have to
is
pay $40 to get everything.
I feel like $20 is a little bit too much for that game.
That's a strong 15.
It's a beautiful game. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
But
sleek as hell.
But
there's also that angle of what if that means no one's online?
That's okay. That's why we announce our 1 year anniversary trip back into Destruction All-Stars in advance.
Yeah.
Like right here, right now. So people can get ready for when that happens. Let me look up the exact date.
It's going to be like the day Horizon comes out or something.
It came out in February.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It came out February 2nd, I think.
Let's see. Yep, February 2nd.
Okay, at least it's not like end of February where it's like, okay, so you're going to pick between Destruction All-Stars or Elden Ring and Horizon.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd be in theory pretty down for that.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like a funny idea.
Yeah, plus, you know, they redid the netcode since then to make it feel better.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe the matchmaking won't implode whenever we try to group.
God, I hope it doesn't still do that.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for this Twisted Metal game whenever it gets actually announced. I'd like a car game with guns on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal's fun.
Yeah. Seems like they're really pushing now because they now that they've announced that show.
Yep.
And they're giving, seemingly to a better developer, the Twisted Metal game.
Hopefully everything works out.
Yeah. I'm not gonna get excited until we get to actually see it. I'm super worried.
Here's my thing, right, Bob?
Yeah.
With the Twisted Metal game.
Right.
You can't launch a Twisted Metal game nowadays that has less support than the last one had on PS3.
You can't, no.
Yeah. I just like seeing legacy franchises coming back.
Plus, I feel like that's not a dated concept, right? Like, when people want PS1 games to come back, at no point does anyone go, no one would play a Twisted Metal now. No one's into cars blowing up and doing sick shit.
Like, yes, I will always care.
Yeah. It could easily be adapted into any tone you think would fit a modern audience.
Yeah.
Unlike Jumping Flash.
Yeah.
Which Sony would never bring back. In a AAA format.
No.
Because they're cowards.
Right?
Yes.
I need my mature reboot of Jumping Flash.
I can't believe they did it. They ripped the planet apart and your mom.
is it Intelligence Cube that's the one where you got it? Like the wall of cubes coming down the...
Yes.
We need to bring that back.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. Give it a Silent Hill twist.
Ooh.
Again.
We also need Cyber Connect 2 since their last unique game didn't do so fucking hot. We need them to bring back Silent Bomber.
Okay, which one's Silent Bomber? One second.
Silent Bomber is like the action game where you have like the bomb gauntlet.
Yeah, this game. Holy crap!
And you have like Bomb Virgil.
I actually heard some weird rumors about Cyber Connect that they're announcing a new game next month and it might be a One Piece game. We'll see.
Yeah, people are looking at it seemingly going to be a game that would be coming out in summer.
Huh.
So
they did say that, yeah. I think they flat out said, yeah, we're making like another thing that'll be announced in February.
Yeah, but yeah, you are right. That was a thing that did pop up. All right, so Take-Two is acquiring Zynga for $12.7 billion.
Is anyone else floored that Zynga could remotely net that price in 2021? Sorry, 2022. No.
Yeah, I thought that...
Absolutely not. I'm not even remotely surprised because I'm sure they have one of those fucking App Store games where the dude's screaming and that's just the icon that makes $1.5 billion a year.
I hate that I know what you're talking about.
I was surprised. I thought Zynga was owned by EA already. That's what really surprised me about this. I was like,
I thought they were owned by Facebook, actually.
But I guess not. I guess...
No. Their big thing is just Farmville, so yeah, that's like, why I associate them with Facebook.
I was like, they have a third Farmville. That's their killer app I'm looking at.
Mm.
But they have so much shit. Like, they have... Like, they were Farmville, Words with Friends.
Here, let me read their front page. It's very funny. Empires and Puzzles RPG Quest. Farmville 3, Star Wars Hunters arriving in 2022 on Switch, iOS, and Android. Remember that trailer?
Yeah, that thing that wasn't even a game, really. They just showed us an awful CG.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I really love this one. Golf Rival, where I think this man in the photo is having an allergic reaction to something. It seems like it's... His eyes are getting a little puffy. Who knows? And Harry Potter Puzzles and Spells?
And Spells?
Yes.
Wow, we get both.
We get both.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I was floored. I was like, what the fuck? It's 2022. If it was 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to so many things mobile related, so I can't really like... get a good read on whether or not this is a good price or a bad price.
Yeah, same. I feel like I follow enough people who should have talked about them at all in years recent.
Right, like
if they could have net this much money. It just seems bizarre.
I heard something about this being the biggest like money purchase of any game related studio.
It would be, yeah, it is, because so I think the biggest before this would have been the Bethesda thing, like, or the ZeniMax thing.
Isn't that, how much was the Bethesda thing?
$4 billion? Eight.
Oh my
eight.
God.
Oh yeah, eight. I think four was Star Wars.
That's insane.
When Disney picked that up.
Yeah,
it is insane. I don't know how Zynga's commanding that much money, but whatever Take-Two has it.
I guess, yeah. All these infinite money factories.
I mean, Zynga's revenue from last year was $2 billion, so I guess if it's like, well, we're going to get that money forever.
Let's put the Midnight Club in there. And
I do think 12 is too much. I don't think they're going to recoup.
I love the concept of, even though they're legally required to always say past observations of success do not indicate future trends, them just sitting there and being like, but what if we made it forever?
Gosh.
What's up?
Apparently, Zynga's revenue has been very high in the past few years, but their profitability has been less so. So I do wonder if Take-Two might not be ending up holding the bag on this one.
There's no way. That would be the first time ever that has happened. The company goes, they make so much money. All we have to do is fix this profit problem.
There is like, if you ever fall, if you're listening to this and you've ever fallen into the misconception that people in charge of companies have to be in, if you fall into the trap of thinking meritocracy is real.
Right.
Yeah.
Because people think it's real.
Most common business strategy that at the highest levels of capitalism seems to be, there's a lot of profit over there. All we have to do is fill this bottomless chasm with money until we can walk across.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not even there's a lot of profit over there. They actually care
we
more.
We think there might be a lot of profit over there.
Maybe.
Yeah, they care more about revenue than they do profit, because every company ever just goes, well, obviously, we could do something horrible to cheapen making it. No matter what it is, they always assume that.
Yeah.
Also, money and economics are both fake.
Yeah, with late-stage capitalism especially.
It's true. It's 100% true at that level, but not on the level where you go over to patreon.com/GBpodcast. That
money
level,
you give us is very real and very appreciated.
Yeah.
This $12.7 billion is just a number.
It's a spell.
It means literally nothing to humans.
They might as well have said Avada Kedavra.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, our goal that lets us reach a reboot podcast. Now that's a real number.
That is a very real number with very real world ramifications.
I do want to encourage everybody to read the book Going Postal by Terry Pratchett.
Okay.
Because the antagonist of that, this book was written like 2008, I think. It was written well before it became incredibly relevant. The villain's basically Trump. he's like evil pirate overlord Trump who runs an internet company. A fantasy internet company.
Yes, it's 2004, and this is in the Discworld series.
Yes, it's Discworld, but you don't need to read the previous books. You can pick this up right away and just fucking read it.
Yeah, that's what I've
heard. And it's the main thing is both him and the protagonist are like, no, money isn't real. It's just numbers on a sheet of paper. Like, it means nothing. So I can do, and this is the villain, like, I can do things like buy a company with its own money.
Yeah.
God. It's like, the villain's whole thing is like, once you understand money is fake, you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, that probably should have been mandatory reading.
Yeah.
In America. The turn of the century, yeah.
Maybe. Speaking of fake things,
mm-hmm.
NFT enthusiast, Stalker 2,
mm-hmm.
Has been delayed nearly 8 months. It is jumping from late April to December 8th.
I now believe it's coming out on time.
I am calling this the please forget delay.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure it would have been unbelievably rough, but I'm willing to bet that part of this delay is they'll forget by then.
See, okay, for me, and maybe this is just me, I acknowledge that, there has always been this era of Stalker 2 ain't fucking coming out. Like, just something about what they wanted to show us at all these times didn't seem like it was actually hitting that date. So I hear this 8 months delayed, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds correct. Yes, December, absolutely.
Yeah, it's almost a whole year. This is insane. Which, but yeah, it's fully expected.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you push back 8 months, absolutely. I'm not a crazy person. That looks like something that's, you know, this far away. Sure, absolutely.
But also, yes, please forget.
yeah, please forget when we told our girlfriend to calm down.
Oh yeah, I forgot that Stalker 2 is going to be the 3-month Xbox exclusive.
Okay.
That we found out because of the Epic Games thing. Epic Games versus Apple. It was in one of the documents. Like, it has a 3-month exclusivity on us and Game Pass.
I forgot about that.
That's really funny.
So that's their holiday hit, that and Starfield on Xbox?
Yeah, I guess so.
Cool.
I can't wait until they actually show Starfield, so anything about that, so I can even have a feeling about that.
Besides the latter.
In my brain, and this is fucking insane, I know. In my brain, Starfield is the opening of Fallout 4, but I'm on a spaceship.
Same plot, too.
Yeah, actually.
God, I challenge them to make something stupider than fucking Kellogg in Fallout 4. God.
I'm just now going to spend the rest of this press cycle waiting for them to announce something that refutes my theory.
Good luck, man.
This locks me into definitely playing it at launch.
Why did the reveal trailer at E3 use Atom Bomb Baby like Fallout 4?
That's weird. Is this a cryopod? No, it's a sleep pod for our space travel. You're inside looking out as events happen on the ship.
You see, in the intro, you're sold space insurance.
I don't understand. Why does he look the same if the first time I saw him was 60 years ago?
Because we are idiots. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Oh, we got it. Okay.
Yeah, we can move on.
Yeah. Kirby has a gun.
That's correct.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land got a brand new trailer coming out March 25th. I just like how my first, the way I learned that this is out is someone tweeting at me with my art from Armchair Deb saying you won.
I love how Twitter's full of Kirby with gun images. Because you can't do a tweet where you're like, I can't believe they gave Kirby a gun without people in the replies posting every piece of art of Kirby holding a gun ever.
Yep.
And it's killing me. I'm like, I didn't know there was this much.
Yeah. The first trailer was the announcement that they were doing a full 3D Kirby. This was the one where they're like, here's all the stuff you're going to do in it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really glad this trailer exists because I was like, that first one was just like Kirby jumps around in buildings sunk into ocean.
Yeah, and
yes,
didn't really give me much.
This looks awesome. They showed off a couple of bosses, like a tropical wispy woods, like some giant gorilla man, a Meta Knight fight, presumably, and some like really good shots that I remember from like Kirby 64 and like Planet Robobot, where they're like, we're gonna change the camera so it's really zoomed out and cinematic looking. Like there's one shot in this trailer that of Kirby in the desert. I'm like, this game seems crazy.
Yeah. I appreciate in this trailer, not only do they have all those like cool gameplay things they showed off in little like, oh, here's a populated city that he's running around in.
Yeah.
But also performance seemed a lot more on the level. Like it dipped in a few parts, but those were understandable parts. The last time we saw Kirby, it was like Kirby's trying to move and the game's troubled.
Oh, whenever I thought a bad performance on that, it was Kirby's on the warp star and it's dropping to 22.
Yeah. So I really appreciate getting to see this. There's so many neat things he does in the trailer and it like, I feel pretty confident on this game. Like it looks like a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always funny when Nintendo's just like, here's a first party game trailer. It's Wednesday. Happy birthday.
It's like it feels like you just wake up and you look at the end of your bed and Nintendo's like, hey. You're like, what's up? And they're like, you like Kirby, right? And you're like, is this the time and place for that?
And you're like, don't you do directs? They're like, here, have this trailer.
Not until E3, sorry.
We're going to directly give you this trailer is what we're going to do.
And I'm like, this is 90 seconds, but it was pretty solid. You save Waddle Dees and there's like a Waddle Dee village.
Yeah, real good stuff.
They give you stuff to do. I saw one of the abilities is like you can burrow underground. If you do a full circle, the center explodes.
Yes, that was real cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, this
looks crazy.
I don't know if we have any other games that are going to have a train wreck with this, a car wreck. at the end of that month? Does anyone know of anything at the very end of March?
I can't think of other big March releases because so much stuff is sitting in February.
There's Stranger of Paradise.
Yeah.
I feel like for March, it's almost all Square, isn't it? Because it's Chocobo GP.
Forspoken is also supposed to be that
that's
year.
May.
I mean,
that's May.
Okay, that's May. That's May. Okay.
But yeah, for Switch, there's Triangle Strategy, Chocobo GP, and Kirby.
And now, and also...
And Rune Factory 5, if you want to consider that a major release.
Yeah, and then other...
I feel that was a big thing in a Switch, in Nintendo Direct, so it might pop up as like a huge blowout before that even comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have, Bob?
The Babylon's Fall, but that's not Switch.
I'm losing it. I've been trying to think of what the fourth Square Enix game in March has been, and every time I forget it's that one.
Okay, I'm going insane. I thought Babylon's Fall was this month.
No. God, don't do that to
things
them.
Are bad, but not that bad. I am still hoping that they're like, actually, we decided to delay it 3 years at the last minute.
Yes, please.
Oh, wait, but
yeah.
God, how is it coming out like almost on top of B'lan? Like the anniversary. When did B'lan come out? I need to know. I need to know the exact
February?
Date.
February? Please don't
the 26th of March.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, isn't it
so it's
going to
be the same. It's going to be the same thing. This shit's a fucking millstone around earnings neck. Out you go.
Yet another edition of get it out before the fiscal year ends.
Mm-hmm. My favorite show they put on at Square Enix.
Yeah.
It's an annual celebration award almost.
Yeah, delicious.
I feel so bad for that game.
I'm just beaten. Kirby, though,
mm-hmm.
not beaten. Mm-hmm. Having a good time. I'm with a lot of people. I don't trust that little thing that flies with you. It's like a little butterfly thing with a chunk missing.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
It's not a butterfly, Casey. It's like a rodent that flies with its ears.
I haven't looked at it too much. I just saw the meme video of saying very icky, very evil. It's like, I think it's going to become some sort of eldritch horror.
Let me see.
It can go either way. It's either that or just the cute fairy thing that follows you.
Yeah. It's either truly evil or it'll be cute, and then there's something fucked up over there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be just perfectly fine, like Ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it does look a little bit too. It looks more adorable than Ribbon, and that's always a bad sign.
It has this. It really does have this like. I am a Scrimblow that's going to decloak and be evil energy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, just look at him.
You're going to find the piece that's missing from its ear, and then it's going to become, like, something that devours a planet. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Kirby will be like, you stole my cake, and shoot it in the face.
This render is really weird. I don't need to see this much hair on it.
You don't?
No.
You don't need that fur texture?
Nintendo loves being like, well, the Switch is only 720p, so here's an 8K render of the character.
Yes.
Yeah, like I'm so
tired. You can see its skin cells. I think it really doesn't work with Kirby characters because it's like hyper-realistic fur. Like you can see the dog-like nose texture. These weird voids for eyes because there's no way to make like hyper realistic Kirby eyes,
right?
Oh man, I just full screened this image. Holy shit, yeah, that is that is a lot to deal with.
Oh.
But yeah, it's gonna get a part of its ear back and then it's gonna jump into Clockwork or Galactic Nova and then it's just gonna start devouring planets.
Yeah,
I would like one of these guys to not be a wizard.
Fair.
Yeah.
It turns into a like devil man style giant horse human monster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a transition.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Turns out it was the horse monster's tail.
And I've got one more piece of news for this week. Street Fighter's 35th anniversary logo was revealed. Now, they were going to have Capcom Cup next month, where presumably they were just going to show the next Street Fighter. But they're not doing that anymore. So I wanted to do a bonus gamer premonition of where or when would they reveal that game now that they have no place to reveal that game now.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get an early Sony show this year.
Mm.
There's a slight possibility in my head just because it's like you have
You have stuff.
You have stuff. You clearly just didn't do stuff at the end of last year, and you had to hold stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, what is the name of those PlayStation shows again?
Showcase?
No, it's something like State of the Union. State of Play.
State of Play.
Yeah, there we go.
I was thinking about the real shows, like the big shows.
Yeah, State of Play. I feel like they're going to do a State of Play, and this could show up at it.
Right. That seems the most likely to me.
Checks out. They did RE3 Remake at a State of Play.
It feels like we really do for one. We haven't seen a Sony anything since E3 time, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they did that State of Play that revealed Star Ocean.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing we got from them.
Yes,
right. I keep forgetting that show happened, because outside of Star Ocean, I can't think of what was there.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember anything.
It was October, I think, so we should be due for another one in a month or two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I assume we'll get one before Gran Turismo 7 launches, which launches in March, so.
Yeah. Oh, shit, that launches in March.
Yeah, March is crowded. Oh,
that seems unreal to me.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh yeah, we're entering the opening salvo of games.
Yeah,
this first quarter, it's gonna be crazy.
Right now we're in the calm before the storm. I think it really is. The gunshot is that Pokemon Arceus at the end of this month. Then it's like it's nonstop stuff.
I got way too hyped just to watch a trailer that was only because it was narrated by Steve Bloom.
Oh, was it?
Where he's like, "Enter the world of Pokemon Arceus."
Cool.
But I'll save getting excited for that for tomorrow, because they're actually doing previews tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
By the time this comes out, they will have detailed the game a bit more.
Nice, 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 nice.
I mean,
nice.
They released 13 minutes of video. I watched about a minute and a half and was like, yeah, this seems cool. I don't need to see anymore. I don't want you to ruin everything.
Yeah, I do wonder how that's gonna go. I've had to block the accounts that are known for, here's what the leaks are.
Yeah, here's what the leaks are.
Every Pokemon game where someone gets it early and goes, here's everything. So I just had to block that account. So someone's like, they're already leaking stuff. I'm like, how?
I can't believe Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl ship so rough. Didn't even have a title screen at launch. And by launch, I mean 2 weeks before launch.
Yeah, that's the account that let me know that there was no real title screen. So I preemptively blocked them for this game.
That's very wise. I get it. 100%.
I'm like, this has regional variants. I want to be surprised if you make something more ridiculous than that Voltorb.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think Arceus really is the opening salvo. It's the opening gunshot to be like, the year begins now.
Yeah. So with that, our news is done.
Yep. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
What are we doing in the next week?
Game of the year.
Okay, cool. Please enjoy Game of the Year. We work very hard on it.
We do.
Yeah.
You will see. Holy, you will see the time, fuck. The time, the runtime, and be like, wow, they weren't lying.
That ass did fart.
KZ, what are you doing in the next week?
I'm going to try and get back into streaming again. I haven't streamed at all since this month started, because I experienced it. So I guess exhaustion burnout.
Yeah.
As soon as the year started, where I'm like, I've been up for 6 hours. Time to go back to sleep.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get back into the swing of things now that we've punched through a lot of Game of the Year, but still not all of it.
Mm-hmm. Feel?
Game of the Year.
Okay. Well, that's it. We're going to turn this off, because we still have to go record more of the Game of the Year.
God!
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.